And now welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and the instrument may be 250, 300 years old, but people are still writing for the clavichord, and there is even some contemporary music on the program at the Token Creek Barn. That's tomorrow at 2 o'clock, a program of clavichord music, the instrument built by one of my guests, Tim Farley, and to be performed on by the other, Marcia Hajimarcos. Welcome, both of you, to the midday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Norman.
This is going to be an interesting adventure in sound. And, well, I guess let's start with a question for you, Tim, having to do with actually building a clavichord. I mean, you have built one before you made this one?
Oh, about seven. And they take a lot of time. Of course, you have to make the keys, and you have to find a plan for the instrument you're going to build. And it's just it takes an awful lot of time to just make one, probably a few years.
And Marcia, I see from your bio that you got into music or interested in music as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Not listening to the piano so much as the Celeste from the Sugar Plum Fairy. Is that
well? That was a very long time ago.
But again, it's one of those keyboard instruments that's not exactly what you hear every day.
That's true. Yes, but I've never actually studied the Celeste. I studied the piano, like I think everybody of my generation.
And how did you end up getting into these earlier keyboards?
I think I was always looking for something different. And I first encountered early keyboards when I was a student at the University of Iowa in modern piano. And there I met Ed Coddick, who's a very important figure in American early keyboard building. And there I played my first forte piano. And from there I went to Europe to study the harpsichord. And from there I sort of took a left turn into the world of the forte piano and the clavichord, which I've been, quite involved with ever since.
And apropos of tomorrow's concert in mm-hmm. the barn at the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival venue, I also hear that you like to play in barns and in stables and towers. That sounds very European.
Well, it's true. I've lived in France for, 35 years now, or maybe even a bit more. And I do play in some unusual venues, which is a lot of fun. And it's something I enjoy doing.
Well, you have this CD that we're going to be sampling through that has works by C.P.E. Bach, from whom we heard earlier this morning, that piano trio by Trio 1790.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, though, it's going to be all clavichord pieces and even earlier instrument than 1790. Let's hear one of the pieces first and then maybe get into some of the characteristics of that instrument.
Okay, great. So we're going to hear, to start off, a piece called Lally Rupalich, which is a bit of a mysterious title. It has a subtitle, which is La Bach, so we think it may be a self-portrait of C.P.E. Bach. So let's see how he considered himself, possibly.
Thank you.
possibly a portrait, a self-portrait of the composer, C.P.E. Bach. And the name of that one again, Marcia?
It's Lali Rupalich, and the subtitle is La Bach. And that was actually played on an original fortepiano built by Hoffmann and dating from the late 18th century, 1790 to be precise.
Right at the end of the lifetime of the composer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we hear this clavichord piece next,
yes,
what's going to sound different from what we just heard?
Oh, gosh, lots of things. Well, the next piece is going to be La Gleime, a very tender and nostalgic piece. And it's, again, a little bit of ambiguity about who's being portrayed here. It might be a man, Herr Gleim, who was a poet and who kind of was at the origin of the so-called Monday Club in mid-18th century Berlin, to which Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach belonged and participated in. It actually took place on Thursdays, just to just to be original.
How French.
Well, French and German as well. they met on Thursdays for, and this is in quotes, fellowship, supper, and conversation, and also music. And he portrayed many of the members of this club, including Herr Gleim, and possibly, in this piece, his daughter Sophie, who was a poet, herself a female poet. The clavichord is a much quieter and, I would say, even more subtle instrument than the historic piano.
Less expressive?
Oh, no, I would say much more expressive.
I had to put that out there.
Thank you very much. That's a great cue. I would say infinitely expressive. From the tiniest pianissimo to a relatively loud fortissimo, all done with touch, no pedals, no outside devices to modify the sound, just
it's all on
the
you.
Fingers, all you get.
La Gleime. Thank you. kind of soulful, isn't it, that clavichord?
Yes, that's a very tender and nostalgic feeling piece, isn't it?
And Tim Farley, you're telling me it's metal hitting metal, very unlike a harpsichord, which is a plucked effect. This is actually metal hitting metal.
Yes, that's right. It's really more related to the piano in the respect that it is a percussion instrument, and the brass striker on the end of the key contacts the brass string, and when that happens, all of the felted strings, the felt and the strings are negated, and it opens up the string to ring. And as long as your fingers are held fairly firmly on the keys, the tone continues. If you release or apply more or less pressure, you can get vibrato.
Just have to know how to do it.
Yeah.
A little bit of a learning curve there. And Marcia, do you still kind of go back and forth from grand pianos to clavichords and other keyboard instruments? Do you play all these keyboards?
Yeah, I would say more and more. I think when I began studying early keyboards, people tended to be in a kind of niche and concentrate on early keyboards rather than modern and not to mix them up too much. But I think maybe it's an effect of internet. I'm not sure. But I feel like things are opening up and people aren't so pigeonholed anymore. So, yeah, I do change quite often.
Now, clavichord, what kind of ensemble would a clavichord play? And harpsichords, of course, you know, you have full-fledged concertos, but clavichords?
I don't know if we can go as far as an ensemble. I think we can go as far as two players, the clavichord and a muted violin, the clavichord and a traverso, or a singer singing very quietly.
A lute, maybe?
A lute? Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
See what you can do.
Yeah. But it is really a solo instrument, I would say, primarily. Yeah.
And its voice is more akin to, say, the mandolin, as far as string instruments are concerned. It has, I think mandolin and clavichord would be a wonderful combination. Yeah,
it could work. I think, well, it depends on the music, but it can be also close to the guitar, to the harp. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it's itself, of course. Primarily, first and foremost.
Sure.
Yeah.
Trying to remember if other of the Bach family would have even written for the. All of the four composer sons.
Maybe less J.C. Bach. Right, maybe less, but definitely Johann Sebastian and Wilhelm Friedemann, without question. Yes.
What do we have next? This is again going to be from CPE.
Okay, so this is going to be another character piece. These are musical portraits of people he knew in this friendship circle, and it's called La Pote. So it's a portrait of, believe it or not, a chemistry professor, and that sounds like a kind of, you know, dusty, dowdy person, but as you'll hear in a moment, he was probably very different when he was not lecturing to his chemistry students.
Sure, that happens today, too. Well, Tim has just asked Marcia, what about playing the harpsichord makes you a better pianist. So what about it?
I think he may have been referring to the clavichord rather than the harpsichord. I think the clavichord is the very best teacher of keyboard technique of any instrument in existence. It teaches you all you need to know, because if you don't place your hand properly, you get an ugly sound. You get a kind of spitting sound, which no other keyboard provides. You can play sort of any old way, and the sound will still occur. Whereas on the clavichord, you have to place your hand very carefully. You have to pay attention to weight, to balance, to how you move your hand over the keyboard. You have to play quite far out on the keys in order to take advantage of the lever, because it's the simplest action of any keyboard instruments. It's simply a lever, like a seesaw in the park. So you have to play out on the edge in order to get the best sound. So you learn a lot about control, about where you place your fingers, and maybe, Tim, you have some other insights into what it does for your technique.
Well, a really good clavichord is you're able to really play with amazing velocity, I think.
Yeah.
With speed.
You think more than elsewhere.
I think I'd put it up against a piano if it's made, if it's really made well. Yeah, the action is really good.
Well, we'll just hope for a demonstration next time.
Yeah. With pleasure.
In the meantime, we have one more here. And what's the story behind this one?
So the last one is not a portrait of a particular person. It's more of a mood piece. And it's called Les Longueurs Tendres, how can we translate that? It's a very tender scene. I think it's one of the most sensuous pieces ever written for the keyboard. And you can imagine what you like, what's going on in this languorous and tender moment between the right hand and the left hand, which may represent two people. Possibly, but I won't go any farther than that.
It's up to your imagination.
Absolutely.
Theater of the mind. Well, certainly evocative of something. Yes, a tender moment, to be sure.
Yeah.
And the work of Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, among his many pieces for the clavichord and the practitioner in all of the pieces that we've heard. One of my two guests today, Marcia Hadjimarkos, and with us also, the builder of the harpsichord or the clavichord that you can hear tomorrow, Tim Farley, in that performance again. Will be out in Token Creek at the Barn. associated with the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival at 2 o'clock, and it'll include works in addition to Haydn, for example, a full-blown sonata. Some contemporary composers will be represented: John Harbison and Jake Mabry.
Drake Mabry,
and, mm-hmm. and also Philip Glass.
Absolutely.
With a couple of those etudes that are stunning for the piano. Mm. It's been a pleasure having you both on the midday.